Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record Program number 722, the 9/11 Mosque Tea Party and its multiple Mad Hatters. This program is being recorded on August 21st of the year 2002. Before I get into the main body of the broadcast, I want to stress to listeners they should be using the SpitfireList.com website. This program in particular will highlight why that's important. Over the last several days, I've put up a number of posts dealing with the so-called 911 mosque controversy. Those are in the news and supplemental section. When I post one of those, they appear in the upper right-hand corner of the front page of the SpitfireList.com website. Then when I post another one, they begin another food for thought. That is, they begin feeding down the left-hand side of the front page. When they drop off of there, they go into the news and supplemental section. If one goes to the right-hand side of the front page of the SpitfireList.com website, you'll see where it says select a category. Just click on that, and there are a number of categories to access some of the previous news and supplemental posts, food for thought posts dealing with the 9/11 mosque controversy. Go to the news and supplemental section when those drop off. Time permitting, I'm going to read at least some of those into the record in this broadcast, but that is, again, time permitting. Also, when I talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, that is not a name most people are familiar with, and sadly, an awful lot of people who are familiar with it have been misled into thinking it's a moderate or even laudable organization. In fact, it's an Islamic fascist organization with almost medieval trappings, one of a number of manifestations of religious fascism, something I've talked about in many programs over the years. There's also a DVD available on the web called The First Refuge of a Scoundrel, about religion and fascism. Dr. Johnson centuries ago observed that, quote, patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel. Well, in my experience and opinion, religion is usually the first, and there's never been any shortage of scoundrels seeking religion as a cover for their malfeasance. And Islam has been no exception. The Muslim Brotherhood is a fascist organization. It is sadly like so many fascist organizations, as we have seen. It most recently, in For the Record 721, it not only was utilized by Western and U.S. intelligence in the Cold War, but at this time and in this decade, the State Department under both George W. Bush and now manifesting inertia, Barack Obama have to an extent been promoting the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is against that background that one must view the 9/11 mosque controversy. Now, by the way, before I leave the topic, please, SpitfireList.com. Please use the website. Now, of course, there's been an awful lot of ink and an awful lot of airtime and an internet time and an awful lot of bloviating, some substantive commentary, but not a whole lot about the 9/11 mosque controversy. What this involves, for those who may have been stranded in an Antarctic or Arctic region, or exploring a subterranean cave complex and you haven't been anywhere near media for some weeks, about two blocks or so from Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan, an Islamic association has secured New York City municipal approval for the building of a mosque and an Islamic cultural and activity center about two blocks from Ground Zero. A lot of people find the proximity between this facility and Ground Zero to be uncomfortable or unacceptable, and yet there's also the consideration of religious freedom. This has been one of the dynamics that has manifested itself. One of the things, too, that has manifested itself is the complete absence of brain power on the American political landscape at this point in time. It turns out that not only are elements of the right wing right about Mr. Rauf, the imam in question, not being a, quote, moderate, but what they consistently fail to observe are the many links between that milieu, the Muslim Brotherhood milieu, and the people they hold near and dear, such as George W. Bush, Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, and others. Then on the so-called progressive side of things, although they excoriate George Bush and Karl Rove and Grover Norquist, the fact of the matter is they run interference for Sami Al-Arian and the Muslim Brotherhood, and precisely the same Muslim Brotherhood elements that are allied with the GOP. One of the major political phenomena of the latter part of this decade is, of course, the Tea Party movement. And the point of cultural and historical reference for Tea Party is, of course, the Boston Tea Party, one of the early episodes of the American Revolution, which was to follow. The better reference, in my opinion, implicit in the title of this program, is Tea Party as in Lewis and Carroll, as in Mad Hatter, as in absolutely utterly barking mad. And I'm deliberately editing my verbiage here because when I think of that, I'm tempted to reach deep into the foulest backwaters of my vocabulary, and that would not be acceptable from an FCC standpoint. But I do think that the Tea Party movement is an appropriate metaphor, but not in terms of the Boston Tea Party, but in terms of the Lewis and Carroll Mad Hatter Tea Party, because that is basically what it is. And vis-a-vis the 9/11 mosque controversy, we have multiple Mad Hatters from both sides of the political aisle demonstrating that basically a large percentage of the American people in the year of our Lord 2010 can't tell a dirt road from a chicken with lips when it comes to matters political and historical. Not perhaps all that surprising under the circumstances, but it is nonetheless dismaying, and I'm afraid it's likely to prove deadly. So what I'm going to be doing is to illustrate primarily the Muslim Brotherhood associations of Faisal Abdul Rauf and the milieu of which he is a part. I use that word all the time. And this broadcast, I think, will demonstrate why I use that milieu. One always wants to be aware of committing the sin of labeling somebody guilty by association. That's always a consideration, particularly in journalism. However, there is also the consideration of institutional manifestation on in world and in particular economic and political events. And when that is the case, one wants to literally, in this case, follow the money. One wants to find out where the funding comes from and what sorts of professional relationships have engendered that funding in the first place. And perhaps even more importantly, what sorts of professional relationships and what sorts of institutional manifestations stem from that funding? And the way you find that out is you examine a milieu. It's why I use that bloody word so often. And this broadcast will illustrate the utility, indeed the essential nature, of considering a milieu, while at the same time taking precautions not to label one guilty by association. On the other hand, some are associated through guilt. One of the reasons why the 9/11 mosque Tea Party has so many different Mad Hatters is that some elements of the more conservative political spectrum have correctly identified Faisal Abdul Rauf as anything but a moderate and linked to the Muslim Brotherhood and to institutions which have been involved in terror funding in the past, but they remain blithely unaware, willfully unaware, of this same milieu. That word again links to the Republican Party, to Karl Rove, Grover Norquist, George Bush, the funders of major corporations, including Disney, News Corp, many other media outlets and media corporations, which are linchpins of the far right, and which indeed engender many of the opinions that are held by the Tea Party and disseminated to the Tea Partiers from their Mad Hatters. This is really quite wild. And when the progressive sector embraces the Muslim Brotherhood, as it does in so many different ways, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly by supporting Hamas and other Muslim Brotherhood offshoots, It is surreal. They're embracing an institution which, their representations to the contrary notwithstanding, believes in rolling women's rights back to the 7th century and killing gay people. And I'll tell you, it's just watching the so-called progressive sector, Pacifica Radio and the others, banging the drum in one way or another for the Muslim Brotherhood. It's like rabbis for Hitler. I mean, it is just surreal. So with that, a very thoughtful essay and a well-researched and rigorously annotated essay on Faisal Abdul Rauf and his milieu, that institution, or that word again, was put together by a researcher, and URL will be available in the description for the program. Her name is Alyssa Lappin, and she is a conservative, and she has put together a paper researching Faisal Abdul Rauf. And not only do his associations run in the direction of A, the Muslim Brotherhood, and he appears to be a second-generation Brotherhood operative or fellow traveler, if not in fact a clandestine Brotherhood operative, manifesting a political agenda begun by his father, who was an associate of Hassan al-Banna in Egypt, the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. Beyond that, Faisal Abdul Rauf has drawn funding from Muslim Brotherhood institutions. He has associated himself with institutions and individuals who not only dismiss Muslim involvement with 9/11, but in characteristic Islamic fascist fashion, blame it on, quote, you guessed it, the Jews. Time honored, and indeed Rauf himself has made statements reminiscent of that. One of the most important elements of association for Faisal Abdul Rauf concerns the many connections he has with former Malaysian Prime Minister Mahathir Mohamad. This guy is a real piece of work, the former Malaysian PM. He's a raving, wild-eyed anti-Semite and someone very closely associated with Muslim Brotherhood elements in Asia. And indeed, he's carrying on the tradition of persecuting not only Jews, but which he's doing rhetorically and also perhaps in reality through financing some of the organizations he apparently helps to finance, but also in terms of rhetoric and action, the Chinese. There is a traditional scapegoating of the Chinese as the a traditional characterization of the Chinese as the Jews of Asia. And indeed, in many of the Muslim-majority countries of Asia, the Chinese minority does very, very well. Not only do they place a priority on A, practicing birth control, but also, even more importantly, educating their children. And sadly, the Muslim majorities don't do nearly enough of either. But then, whereas the Chinese prosper as a result, a lot of the Muslims wind up mired in the proverbial cycle of poverty. Traditionally, Muslim leaders have scapegoated the Chinese as manifestations of some global conspiracy. During the Japanese occupation of many of these countries in World War II, the Japanese institutionalized that anti-Chinese prejudice and instituted the Suk Ching Massacre. Suk Ching means ethnic cleansing in Chinese. And basically, they scapegoated the Chinese, rather, for the Muslims and helped to establish sympathy slash control slash order by actively slaughtering the Chinese minorities in these countries. Mahathir is a ripe one, and he is very closely associated with Faisal Abdul Rauf, and that is one of the associations that I want to call to question. I want to call to your attention, I should say, here. Also, one wants to note, although it's a relatively minor element, the naming of his organization for Cordoba also has an interesting connotation. That's something that Ms. Lappin discusses at the end of this essay. So here is Faisal Abdul Rauf by Alyssa Lappin, L-A-P-P-E-N, an investigative report. And again, the work was rigorously annotated and sourced. And here goes. The first section concerns bullet points that Ms. Lappin has put together. Evidence of family and direct Rauf Muslim Brotherhood connections. Now, one of the things that she points out is that his father, Dr. Muhammad Abdul Rauf, was an actual associate of Hassan al-Banna and was part of the first Muslim Brotherhood diaspora from Egypt when it was banned in 1948. And as we go through some of the key points of Faisal Abdul Rauf's political resume, Do note how the extent to which he appears to be manifesting a political agenda from his father. It's a little bit in some ways like what we've seen with the Ramadan family. First Saeed Ramadan and then his sons Hani and Tariq Ramadan have carried on a Muslim Brotherhood tradition. Tariq, albeit between the lines, rather like in our discussion of Family of Secrets with Russ Baker. We've seen how a political ethic and a political mode of operation has been passed down from generation to generation, to the extent to which George W. Bush simply carried on a political tradition and institutional inertia that began originally with his grandfather, really his great-grandfather, but in particular from his father, George H. W. Bush, for whom CIA headquarters is named. That same sort of transgenerational inertia and agenda is apparent when one examines the career of Faisal Abdul Rauf. And here again are the bullet points with which Ms. Lappin begins her analysis. Rauf's father, Dr. Muhammad Abdul Rauf, 1917-2004, was an Egyptian contemporary of Muslim Brotherhood founder Hassan al-Banna. Rauf's father studied and taught at Islam's closest equivalent to the Vatican, Al-Azhar University, right beside Hassan al-Banna, perpetuating the pious family tradition of radicalism. In 1948, Rauf's father fled Egypt during its first Muslim Brotherhood crackdown. Faisal was thus born in Kuwait. In 1965, Faisal's father left Malaysia for New York City to stealthily buy two-thirds of an East 96th Street block for an Islamic personal trust, unquote, revealing its $1.3 million Islamic funding from Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Libya only after construction of the Muslim Brotherhood Mosque began in 1984. Likewise, the Organization of the Islamic Conference Nations, by the way, that's a Muslim Brotherhood consortium of Muslim nations within the United Nations itself, beginning again, likewise, Organization of the Islamic Conference Nations funded the $17 million Islamic Cultural Center only after its 1992 opening did Rauf's father reveal that funding source or admit his long-term plans for discriminatory Muslim-only housing for the Islamic complex. Rauf's father named Faisal as a permanent trustee of that Muslim Brotherhood mosque. Under Faisal's permanent trusteeship, ICC employed Al-Azhar Imam Muhammad Gamaya. A week after fleeing the U.S. on September 28, 2001, he stated that, quote, only the Jews, unquote, could have perpetrated 9/11. Allah says Jews, quote, disseminate corruption in the land, spread heresy, homosexuality, alcoholism, and drugs. Americans would exterminate Jews like Hitler did if they only knew. Now, that sounds moderate to me. Doesn't that sound moderate to you? Shucks. What's not to like? Continuing, ICC then hired Al-Azhar envoy Omar Salim Abu Namous. He, too, saw no, quote, conclusive evidence, unquote, that Muslims committed the atrocities, but rather saw Muslims as innocent victims. At Perdana Global Peace Organization, an MB Hamas and Al-Qaeda affiliate, Rauf is second in command to anti-Semitic former Malaysian PM and Islamic law advocate Mahathir Mohamad, who in November of 2002 incited global anti-West financial war as, quote, a jihad worth fighting for, unquote. On May 7, 2010, Rauf himself stated, quote, some people say Muslims attacked on 9/11. Parenthetically, before continuing, of course, there was far more to it than just Muslims. On September 11th, there were elements ranging from some complicit elements within the Bush administration, institutionally derived from some of these Muslim Brotherhood links. There were also so-called neo-Nazis at the operation level and underground Reich operatives, including, looming in the background of September 11th, some of the original old guard and in some of the hands-on walking around aspects, such as what was going on down at Huffman Aviation in South Florida, some of the newer generation of underground Reich operatives. So it was far more than just Muslims, but it was most definitely Muslims too. And indeed, the Muslim Brotherhood is the Islamic component of the Fascist International. Continuing, In 2001 on 60 Minutes, Ralph called U.S. policies, quote, an accessory to the crime that happened, unquote, and said in the most direct sense, Osama bin Laden was made in the USA. Well, Osama bin Laden sure got a lot of assistance from the USA, particularly during the Afghan Mujahideen effort. But it, again, that is a gross oversimplification. And it's one of a number of they're not really misstatements, but a number of distortions that Ralph engages in here. Ralph wants to impose Sharia in the U.S. His 2004 book, What's Right with Islam, is translated into Malay as, quote, the call from the World Trade Center rubble, unquote. By the way, another point here before we continue, one of the things that Ralph does is a trick that a number of Muslim Brotherhood leaders have engaged in, and that is that when they're speaking in English or what is going to be translated into English, they say one thing. When they're speaking in Arabic or another tongue that isn't going to be translated, they say something very different. The late Yasser Arafat was a real good one at that. What he'd say in English sounded often quite reasonable, and what he would say in Arabic, not to be translated into English, was something very, very different indeed. Continuing with Alyssa Lappin's bullet points about Ralph. In December 2007, Ralph promoted the book at a Kuala Lumpur Hizb ut-Tahrir meeting, banned in Germany since 2003 and outlawed in Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Tunisia, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia, among other places. The organization is ideological akin to the Muslim Brotherhood. It is not only ideologically akin to the Muslim Brotherhood working with it, but it is very violent and also ideologically akin to the NPD and the Bank al-Taqwa milieu as well, the NPD, the top German Nazi party. Continuing, in the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2009, Faisal's ASMA accepted at least $1.3 million, including $576,312 from Qatar, whose government stands accused of funding international terrorism, has long harbored terror financiers, and for decades hosted Muslim Brotherhood spiritual chief Yusuf al-Qaradawi. Ralph is quite friendly with Qaradawi, a large founding shareholder in the terror-funding al-Taqwa Bank who champions Sharia law, wife-beating, and suicide bombing. I'm going to pause again. In fact, Sheikh Qaradawi, who is universally hailed as a moderate, champions a whole lot more than that. Qaradawi, by the way, looms very large in the background of the flotilla operation. When I cover that, that will be discussed there as well. Turning ever so briefly to a very important new book, one whose author I hope to interview in the near future. That book's called The Flight of the Intellectuals. It's authored by Paul Berman, published in hardcover by Melville House. And there is an interesting discussion in this about an interesting discussion. There is a very interesting point that he makes about Yusuf al-Qaradawi. Again, Qaradawi has the reputation of being a moderate, but in fact, he's not a moderate at all. And he makes statements that are anything but moderate. One of the points that Paul Berman gets into in Flight of the Intellectuals is that one of the activities that Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, engaged in was studying Islamic texts, basically Islamic scripture, and looking for passages that could be construed as dovetailing National Socialism or Nazism and Islam. And they were quite successful in coming up with passages that would basically indicate that a dovetailing between Adolf Hitler and the Islamic text, and one that basically would see Adolf Hitler as something of a manifestation of Islamic destiny. And Yusuf al-Qaradawi's rhetoric, again, he's hailed by a moderate, by the aforementioned Tariq Ramadan. He's revered by Faisal Abdul Rauf. Qaradawi, again, the alleged moderate's rhetoric, in many ways has evolved from that Grand Mufti effort at dovetailing National Socialist ideology and Islamic scripture. One recent statement, this basically was uttered in January of 2009, so this is a little over a year old. Again, this is the moderate embraced by Faisal Abdul Rauf, as well as Tariq Ramadan. Quote, throughout history, Allah has imposed upon the Jews people who would punish them for their corruption. The last punishment was carried out by Hitler. By means of all the things he did to them, even though they exaggerated this issue, he managed to put them in their place. Basically, this guy is seeing Hitler and stating as such that Adolf Hitler was a manifestation of Islamic will. And again, this is the moderate that Faisal Abdul-Rauf references. So that's something worth worth remembering. Continuing with Alyssa Lappin's bullet points. Rauf concluded in the Washington Post shortly after President Obama's June 2009 Cairo speech that he'd challenged Muslims to, quote, live up to the tenets of our religion, embrace Sharia law as conceived of by the Prophet, and see what happens, unquote. Rauf seeks more U.S. legal leeway, unquote, for Sharia to put Muslims above the law by, quote, inviting voices of all religions to join the dialogue in shaping the nation's practical life and allowing religious communities to judge according to their own laws. On December 9, 2007, Rauf said in Arabic to Sada Abdul Maqsood of the Hadi al-Islam website, that current unjust governments, quote, do not follow Islamic laws, unquote. He advocates establishing Sharia in more ways than one through a kingdom or a democracy, so long as the fundamentals of Sharia exist, with standards of Muslim scholars required to govern, to organize relationships between government and the government. Basically, this is an advocacy of theocracy as applies to Muslims, sort of a Muslim civic slash religious exceptionalism, ultimately, according to the overall blueprint, Dawah or Muslim outreach would be used to establish a worldwide Muslim theocracy. By the way, people tend to dismiss that. What they're talking about is doing this over a period of many, many, many years, hundreds of years, and maintaining a transgenerational inertia, such as Faisal Abdul-Rauf is demonstrating, and with the enormous economic power of the Middle Eastern oil-producing kingdoms at their disposal, and it is at their disposal, plus the derivative corporate power that's at their disposal from the investment of that petroleum capital in the large transnational corporations of various kinds, and they have that power. I would not dismiss such a possibility, say, after a further economic collapse, a series of terrorist incidents involving WMDs, which will collapse what's left of the equities markets. Economic control translates directly into political control, and that economic control might very well be established at some point under the principles of globalism and the, quote, free market, unquote. So I wouldn't be too casually dismissive of some of this rhetoric. Over hundreds of years, that could be done. But, of course, Americans are just thinking about the latest person to dress up like a duck and sing a song on YouTube, and they're flipping for things like that and not exactly taking care of business. So for background on many of the things that I talk about, please use the Spitfire website. Again, time permitting, we're going to go into some of the food for thought posts that I have about the 9/11 mosque controversy, but in particular to really understand the Muslim Brotherhood and the background to this, to understand September 11th and what really took place, there is a massive amount of information available at spitfirelist.com. Probably a lifetime's worth of research just on that website. You won't be able to do all of that lifetime's worth of research, but please do avail yourselves of some of it and come to understand the nature of the forces that are controlling your life. And also, be aware that there's a page to click on if you want to support the work that I'm doing. There's no better way of fighting back if you don't like what you're seeing than supporting the work that I'm doing. This, however, concludes side one of For the Record program number 722, the 9/11 Mosque Tea Party and its multiple Mad Hatters. This program has been recorded on August 21st of the year 2002. We're going to resume with Alyssa Lappin's essay in side two. However, this concludes side one. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.